open for trading on Tuesday, May 2nd, and the Dow is happy. It's up 40. It's up 42 points right now. We've got the S&P is up about 4, and the NASDAQ still in record territory. It's up about 6 right now. So it looks like we're getting a pretty nice start to the markets this morning. Good morning, everybody. Once again, I'm Peggy Tuck, and we've got Charles Sizemore. And Charles, we had a man that probably one of the more respected people from Wharton School of Business with Dr. Jeremy Siegel. He's the one that came out and was calling for Dow 20,000 by 2015, by the end of 2015. And he now says he's come out with this call that he says is the ultimate hedge in case we're looking at a stock market crash. Not that he says he thinks one is coming. I want to make that point very clear. But I thought it was kind of interesting because he said the best bet in a severe market downturn is the 30-year government paper.
Yeah. Now, before we get into that, Jeremy Siegel is the author of Stocks for the Long Run, among others.
Right.
But Stocks for the Long Run is the book that really made him famous. Siegel's also the guy that kind of famously drilled it into all of our heads that stocks, quote, always return, 7 to 10%, over time. That was called the Siegel constant. It almost sounds like a physics term or something, but that stocks always deliver returns of something like 7 to 10% per year, depending on whether you include inflation or not. So anyway, he points out something that's true, but with some caveats there. The 30-year bond, the 30-year U.S. Treasury is a really good hedge against the stock market decline. When stocks fall, bonds tend to do well because yields fall. And the relationship with bonds is, when yields fall, price goes up. When yields rise, price goes down. And the more long-term a bond is, the longer that maturity, the longer the time to maturity, that's what I'm trying to say, the more the price of that bond will move. And so, for example, if we have a stock market crash, the 30-year treasury should perform a lot better than, say, the 10-year treasury or the 5-year treasury or, the 3-month treasury. Now, what he's not really telling you here is that while the bond will do well in the event of a stock market crash, or at least should generally do well in the event of a stock market crash, there is risk there because the 30-year bond actually moves a decent bit. If there is any whiff of inflation, any just possibility of inflation coming down the pipeline, you are going to see the 30-year bond sell off pretty hard. I would say if you're looking for the ultimate low-risk hedge to a stock market decline, just keep more cash on hand. Cash is not going to rise if the market falls. I mean, you're just going to earn whatever, short-term interest rate your bank is paying, but it's not going to fall either. So cash is, in my opinion, if you are worried about a stock market crash, just keep a little more money in cash, just cold hard cash. That's the easiest and safest way to protect yourself.
Now, Charles, you do manage money for our clients. You manage a portfolio for us, which, of course, focuses a lot on dividends. Do you have any bond exposure? Do you use any kind of bond exposure in your portfolio?
I have a little bit right now. I have some exposure to closed-end bond funds, and those are kind of a quirky little animal where you can essentially buy a portfolio of bonds. You can buy the portfolio for less than what it's worth if you're patient and you wait for a good opening. When I bought those, I bought them for about 85 cents on the dollar. So that's sort of a quirky deal. I don't have any of what you would call just straight bond exposure. And what I tell a lot of my clients is this: before you allocate to me, before you allocate to my dividend growth strategy, let's talk more about broad asset allocation. And if you're not comfortable being fully exposed to stocks, and most people aren't, most people want a little money in bonds or real estate or something, a bit more, something that doesn't quite move as aggressively, I say let's just allocate from the beginning. Let's just make sure we have our allocation right. You have only as much in stocks as you're comfortable having, And we manage risk like that. Now, I can make tactical moves to bonds or to cash or to anything really, but I prefer to just say, hey, from the beginning, let's just get the allocation right from the get-go.
Okay, now there is a headline out this morning, and you and I have talked about this off the air in the past, but never really had a chance to get around to it, because people are always looking for yield, and especially as they kind of move out of these fixed income bonds and things of that nature, where they're going to find yield. There has been a lot of buyback action going on. And are people now starting to turn their back on that type of thing to look more to the dividends?
Well, it's not so much investors, it's the companies themselves. And what's happened is what companies tend to do is when they have just a little too much cash jingling in their pocket, or they have access to really cheap credit, they use that extra cash to buy back their shares. Well, that's really slowed down over the last just couple years. It's been extremely strong ever since 2008 meltdown. I mean, companies have poured, I believe, a couple $1 trillion into the stock market, repurchasing their shares. That's helped to boost earnings per share. It's been good. It's kept consistent buying pressure in the market. It's been an important part of the bull market that's been going on now since 2009. What's happened is, particularly after the energy bust, and we had sort of a soft patch there, companies have really scaled back, that they're not repurchasing as much of their stock, or at least they haven't for the last year or two. So that could spike up again, sure. But well, actually, this means a couple things. If companies are not repurchasing their shares to the extent they were, they really need to produce more in the way of just organic earnings in order to get that same bang for the buck in earnings per share. So it remains to be seen whether that will happen, but so far it has been. So far earnings have been catching up to the point where it seems like the market can rise without that steady stream of buybacks.
Okay, now we've been talking about the rally, and I do want to note that Jeremy Siegel says that he still thinks the stock market is where investors need to be right now.
Of
And
course, you could
so.
also ask Jeremy Siegel that any day of the week, any month of the year, just any time in history, and he's 100% stocks all the time.
Excuse me, he is a perma bull, I think, pretty much. The glass is always going to be half full to him, so that's good. Now, there was Josh Brown from Ritholtz Wealth Management, from Barry Ritholtz office there. And Josh writes a great blog, by the way, folks. It's called the Reformed Broker Blog. But he's talking about a trader. And this guy's pretty well highly touted, as a matter of fact. And
He's
so,
good.
yeah, Joseph Fahmy. And he says, Fahmy says that there is this life-changing rally that's shaping up, and that it's just going to really shape up the stock market. And he really brings it down to three things. He says it could be life-changing, all because of three factors, which is going to be the fundamentals and the technicals, and also that the fact that there's sentiment, the consumer sentiment in this. So I thought it was really kind of interesting. And he says, and we're going to have to finish this on the other side now, Charles, because he says this could happen. This could happen in 3 months, it could happen in 3 years, but it's just kind of this
Sure.
phenomenon that he is seeing right now, that he thinks that there's going to be this life-changing rally where everybody's going to could has the possibility of making some money. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back for one final segment. We're going to talk about what Fahmy had to say, as well as Mickey D's and what they're up to. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, bringing you the wisdom of Wall Street. We'll be back after these important messages.